2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This passage is probably so familiar to many of you, some of you probably could get up here and you could give the lesson today. It is a really good one. And it's very, very fitting, especially after that prayer time right there. It just reminds me just how fitting this passage is. So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians, and we're going to spend most all of our time there today. 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. And again, I want to continue with this idea that we started a couple weeks ago. This is our third message on I quit. And sometimes we do feel like giving up. If you remember, last Sunday, we met in the family room. Everybody remember that, right? It was kind of really nice. I loved hearing everybody singing there. That was really good. I like when I can hear you guys sing. Wendy said I should mic the audience. What do you think? We'll give all you guys mics and I can hear you that way, right? But I would really, again, remind you, it was such an encouragement to me last week to think about Psalm 73. Just a quick review. Remember what the Asaph said, right? He said, my foot almost slipped, right? I was on the ground. I knew the Lord was good, but I saw the wicked people around me, and they were all prospering. I was trying to do what was right, and I about slipped off, right? They just seemed like they had it so easy. Like, their eyes were fat. Like, everything about them. They had all the wealth. They had all the food. They had everything. And they were arrogant, and they were saying, who can have knowledge of God? And he said to the Lord, I was a brute beast before you. But then you remember what he said in verse 17. He said, until I came into the sanctuary of God. You guys, I just challenge you, as you face suffering any time in your life, as you face suffering, the best place to be is to get to know who God is. Okay? Come into the sanctuary, find out who he is. He is holy. He is just, he is benevolent, he is merciful, he is gracious, he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful. As you can begin to recognize the character of God, it will give you the strength that you need to navigate the suffering. My flesh, my heart may fail, but God is my strength and my portion. How long? Forever, right? So that was Psalm 73 last week. Again, trying to figure out how we can navigate suffering. Today, we're going to look at one of the best passages in all of Scripture about dealing with suffering. And the way I've titled it today is just simply Sufficient Grace. Again, sometimes we just don't think we have enough to make it, right? Financially, you ever been there? I don't know how we're going to make it. With my daughter and her college, I was just like that. I don't know how we're going to make it. And the Lord, in his blessing and kindness, has helped us navigate it. Amazing, right? Emotionally, you ever been there? Like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I think the fields may be feeling some of that right now. There's so much going on in your life. When, like last summer, Isaiah's going to college and he's graduating and Brooklyn's getting ready to graduate and do a whole new life. And we haven't even had to deal with a wedding yet, so you guys can tell us how that goes. But sometimes emotionally, you're just drained, right? I don't know if I'm going to have enough, right? And sometimes even emotionally, when you're hurting, when there's relationship issues and things like that, you're like, I just don't know how I'm going to make it. And then occasionally, it's just physically, right? I just don't know if I'm going to be able to do what I need to do. I don't know if I can get that job done, and I don't know how it's going to happen. Here's the message today. The Lord has sufficient grace for you to do what he needs you to do. Did you hear that? The Lord has sufficient grace for you today to do what he needs you to do. If you need to go to sleep now, you can. That is the sermon. That is the point, all right? If you can meditate out and dwell on that and read this from 2 Corinthians 12 and hold to this in your heart and know verse 9, there is grace available for you to do what God needs you to do. And that's all I'm trying to share with you today. I hope that you'll get a hold of that. Let's look together in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start reading verses 1 through 10. And then we'll kind of come back and break it down a little, about a paragraph at a time or so, okay? In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He says, I knew a man, verse 2, in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows, how that he was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. All right? God's grace sufficient for what he needs you to do. Let me give you a story to kind of think about this morning, knowing this idea that the Lord knows what we need and he knows exactly how to help us out. This is a really good story. I love this one. Charlie Steinmetz, he had one of the greatest minds in the field of electricity that the world has ever known. In his day, no one knew more than he. Steinmetz built the great generators for Henry Ford in his first plant in Dearborn, Michigan. Once everything was in place, the assembly line worked like clockwork. Thanks to the electrical genius, cars began to roll off the production line and the profits began to pour into Ford's pockets. Things ran along smoothly for months, but suddenly, without warning, everything ground to a halt. Ford Motor Company went dark. One mechanic after another was unable to locate or fix the problem, much to Henry Ford's frustration. They were losing money. Finally, he contacted the brain behind the system. Steinmetz showed up and immediately went to work. He fiddled around with some switches and a gauge or two. He tinkered with this motor and that one, and he pushed a few buttons and messed with some wires. He then threw the master switch, and the lights blinked on, engines began to whirl, and things were back to normal. A few days later, Henry Ford received a bill from Steinmetz for $10,000. Although Ford was a very rich man, he couldn't believe it. Paying such an exorbitant amount of money was out of the question, especially for what appeared to be such a small amount of work. He returned the bill with a note. Charlie, isn't this bill just a little high for a few hours of tinkering around with a few wires and switches? And Steinmetz rewrote the bill and sent it back. It read, for tinkering around on the motors, $10. For knowing where to tinker, $9,990. Total $10,000. Henry Ford paid the bill. As we open up our lives to God and allow him to minister to us, he knows where to tinker, to put what's gone wrong and repair what is broken. After all, he formed us and he fashioned us in the first place. Jesus, the great physician, knows the right remedy because he is able to diagnose the exact problem. Can you hear the Lord today? Everything that's coming to you today, every single thing, has been filtered through the Lord's fingers, through his hands. He knows you. He knows your deepest strength. He knows your greatest weakness. He knows you physically. He knows you emotionally. He knows how long you're going to live. And he knows where you have resources and where you don't. He knows where to tinker. He made you. Trust him for grace today. Even in suffering, the Lord knows us. He knows exactly what we need. And here's the message today. He is more than enough. He's more than enough. Right. Look down, if you would, again, verse 1, NIV here today. The revelation, Paul gives us this first, I'll try not to spend too much time here, but to give you at least a little background into that famous verse we'll get to in just a minute. Paul says, I've got to go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. Verse 2, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, again, in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but about myself, I will not boast except about my weaknesses. Paul had many visions, right? Think about this guy. Who had Paul seen? Paul saw Christ. He saw a vision of Ananias. He saw the man from Macedonia. After his arrest in Jerusalem, he was encouraged by an angel. An angel also appeared to him in the middle of a storm. Paul's seen some things, right? But he's not seen anything like what he writes about here. He tells of a revelation that he had 14 years ago when he is caught up to the real, I would say the real heaven. He says the third heaven, right? And basically, Greeks kind of laid things out. You had your atmosphere would be heaven number one, and then where we see our clouds. And then you have your stars and the space. That would be heaven number two. And then you have where God is at rest, what we'd call paradise, heaven number three. Okay, this is the way they referred to those things. Paul says, well, I'm not going to say that I got to do this, but I know a man. And he's talking about himself. You ever heard someone say like that? I have a friend who, right? Yeah, that's kind of what Paul's saying here. I have a friend. He was caught up into paradise. Now just try to imagine that for a second. What do you think that would be like? Today, if God would take you, again, in the body, out of the body, whatever, it would just feel real either way. Do you ever have a dream where it feels real and you wake up and it just felt like, hey, I was just there. Right? Everybody's had that experience, right? And that's what Paul is saying here. In the body or out of the body, I'm not exactly sure. All I know is what I felt and what I saw. I was taken to paradise. And he says things were so wonderful, I can't even express them. What would a privilege to be in the very heaven of God. Oh, man. Could you imagine? To be in a place, to be in the presence of God where your sins have been atoned for and you are reconciled to him. We had this great lesson on Wednesday night, and the Bible talks about Enoch, and that Enoch was walking with God, and basically the scripture says, and Enoch was no more. And the way we describe it is that, the way I've always heard, and it makes good sense to me, is like every day Enoch would get up, and he would go for a walk with God, and at the end of the day he would go back home, and he would tell the Lord good night. And on this day, he was walking with the Lord, and the Lord said, you know what, Enoch, I think you're a little closer to my house than we are to yours. Why don't you come to my house today? Enoch didn't die. He had a sweet fellowship with the Lord. Paul says, I was caught up into this paradise. And if you were had that experience, do you think it would might tempt you to be a little arrogant if you were brought back here? Well, that preacher gets up there and he talks about heaven like he knows what he's talking about, but I've been there, right? I mean, Paul could actually say that. I have been there. I know what it was. And so he shares that, again, trying to brag on the Lord, not trying to brag on himself. The things that he knew in his spirit would be unbelievable, inexpressible. He says he could glory about this, but instead he's not going to glory about that. What's he going to boast in for himself? This is hard for me. His infirmities, his weaknesses. Anybody here like to boast about that? What do we boast about? Right? You should have seen that bass I reeled in. Man, it was this big. Right? You should have seen me hit that shot at the last second. It was unbelievable. You should have seen how I lifted up that heavy weight. You should have seen the preacher even mowed the grass yesterday. It was amazing. I'm horrible at mowing grass, people. Watch the corners. It's just, don't look at the corners, okay? What do? We like to brag on our accomplishments, right? We like to brag about the good things that we've done. Paul says, I'm going to brag on my infirmities. Anybody brag like that? I'm so poor that there's no way that I can help in this situation. Praise the Lord. We're so small, there's no way we can have an impact. Praise the Lord. What do you think about that? That's a really strange approach, isn't it, right? Shane and Shane have a song that they sing about the devil being our accuser. It's called embracing accusation. And it basically says the father of lies is singing this truth that I am worthless and doomed to die. And on the chorus, Shane and Shane sing, hallelujah, he's right. What? But then at the very end they say, oh, but by the way, the devil's forgotten the refrain. And the refrain is Jesus saves. The devil is right. I am worthless and I'm weak and I am helpless. But what he forgets is that Jesus saves. Paul says the same idea here. Let me boast in the things that I'm weak in, because that is just an opportunity for God to show his glory. Do we have any weakness here today? Can you put both hands up today, right? I don't know how to do this. I was pouring out my heart to Brother Rick last night. It wears me out sometimes because we have such beautiful people here that work so hard. And your preacher's biggest fear is that he is wasting the time that we have this great group of people and this great group of workers. But then I hear a message like today and I just say, Lord, I'm a mess and I'm weak and you are amazing. So I give my life to you and you do whatever you want to with it, right? If you have weakness today, this is the message for you, all right? Give your weakness to the boast in your weakness. I can't do this. Why? Because God is going to show himself to be strong in your life if you would but trust him. That's what Paul is leading to. Think of it here with me this morning. Paul was given a great blessing here to help him overcome much suffering. What blessings has the Lord given to you that would help you overcome great suffering? Lord, given you any blessings today? When I see that Leah walk up the sidewalk today, and I'm just like, everything's better. It's so funny. You even see those little kids go around, and even all of our grumpy old people get smiles on their faces when the little kids come around, don't they? I'm just picking on you guys. Right? When I see Casey up there, and she's running the PowerPoint, I just praise the Lord for that. When my kids are here, I'm so excited. If Isaiah will play his guitar, just what blessings the Lord has given us, right? See those boys come running in. I had to brag on David this morning to see if he's been working out. And you told him he had big muscles today. Man, is the Lord good to us? So as you go through some of those hard times, remind yourself of the Lord's blessings. Paul says, I have unbelievable blessing, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to glory in my weakness. Look in verse 6, the infirmity. We're going to see here a little bit about what happened to Paul and what he was dealing with. This is really interesting, I think, how the Lord lets this be left in the scriptures the way that it is. Verse 6, Paul says, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. So I can talk about, you know, things like paradise and heaven, but I refrain, he says, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Let me remind you this morning, a fool boasts in his strength, but a wise man boasts in the Lord's strength. All right? I've noticed this in my own heart lately where I get to this kind of frustration point, and then I'm like, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to make it happen. You ever felt like that? I'm just going to make it. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to do it. And the Lord just really challenging me today. A fool boasts in his own strength, but a wise man boasts in the Lord's strength. Here's the truth, and you guys know this. God can quickly put down someone as quickly as he lifts them up. We need to glory in the Lord. So help Paul remain humble. He's given this thorn in the flesh. He's buffeted by the messenger of Satan. A couple things here to think about. So for one thing, we don't know what the thorn was. Isn't that kind of interesting? Like the scriptures, Paul could have wrote down specifically, he could have said, you know, I've got cancer. We might not have called it cancer or whatever in this day. You know, maybe leprosy or something like that. Some people have said maybe it was an eye disease and he couldn't see very well at all. Because we know later on when he writes his signature, he writes it like a John Hancock because he always had like a secretary. He couldn't write very well. You can think about everything that was done to his body, right? He's been stoned. He's been beaten 39 lashes at least 3 times that we know of. He's been shipwrecked. He's been left for dead. He's been beaten and thrown in prison. You guys know the prisons of the day, just filthy, nasty, right? So who knows what one of those scars could have been infected or maybe what he lost use of, an arm or a hand or fingers or anything like that, right? It could be any of those things. Or it could have just been something else internally going on. I think it's kind of interesting that the Lord doesn't tell us what it is. So here's the other thing I want you to think about. It may have been directly from persecution, but it may not have been. It may have just been disease or sickness. And here's the thing. Either way, Paul is going to use this for God's glory. Are you following me? You tracking here just a little bit? Okay. What I'm trying to tell you today is that most of you probably today are not going to face physical abusive persecution, at least hopefully not this week, right? You're probably not going to be stoned or somebody's going to try to whip you or put you in a container or even throw you into jail because you love Jesus here where we live, okay? And yet, Paul here, we don't even know, it may not have been any of those things that was the messenger of Satan for him. Here's the other thing I want you to take note of. It was a messenger of Satan. People would like to deny that the devil is active or that he's even real. But we've seen in Job how the Lord allows things to work, right? Remember how Job worked out? God commends Job. God praises him. I still can't get past that idea. How that if God brags on you, wow, what would that be like, right? And so the devil says, well, sure, he's good because you know what? You make him so wealthy and you give him the great family and you give him the wonderful life and he's one of the great leaders, rulers of all the East. Yeah. But let me have at him, Lord, and you'll see that he'll deny you. And God allows the devil to torment his servant. Here's the same thing. God is allowing the devil to put a thorn in the side of Paul. Now, I don't know what your suffering, what its source is today. Can you bear with me? Can you hear? And really, you have to know, you have to seek the Lord to figure that out if that's important to you. Sometimes suffering comes from different places, doesn't it? Sometimes suffering is of our own accord. Anybody ever had that kind of suffering? If my dad said, don't do this, and then I did that, I was going to get suffering. And whose fault was that? That was mine, right? If I'm driving in a 55 and I'm going 110, the officer pulls me over, and I have to pay a bunch of money or go to jail, whose fault is that? Is that the officer's problem? That's mine, okay? Some suffering is self-inflicted. And even on our body, sometimes it's like that, right? But sometimes suffering is not of our doing. Sometimes it's because of other people, right? We're finding this out. You guys know that your own children sometimes can be your greatest source of suffering, can't they? Because they hurt the most. Whenever they do something that you love them so much and they do something that's a bad decision, it can break your heart in two, can't it? Okay? And we know other people in our lives sometimes have that same power over us. And they can bring suffering against us. But sometimes what we see here, sometimes the Lord allows the devil to put suffering in our life. Now, why would God allow suffering into his servant Paul? Right? This is one of the most incredible men to ever live. Why would the Lord allow him to have suffering? Because he's going to use that to humble Paul, but then also to glorify himself and then to bring joy into Paul's life. Paul was definitely a godly man. And so here's what I want to bring out today. This is real important to me. How can anybody say that if you just have enough faith, all your prayers will be answered? Isn't that ridiculous? You ever heard of the health and wellness and prosperity gospel? You ever heard of the name and claim it gospel? Oh, I just got to have enough faith, brother. The only reason you're sick is because you don't have enough faith. You got a little more faith, it'll be all right. What did Paul do here? This guy wrote over half the New Testament. He's seen visions of the Lord. He's talked to the Lord, heard from the Lord audibly. He says, God, can you take this away? He asks him three times, does the Lord take it away? He doesn't. Can you hear me out this morning? Right? You should know this as a strong believer. As suffering hits sometimes, it's the Lord's will to allow suffering. God is not wanting you to hurt. He's not trying to punish you or inflict something on you, but he will allow it for his glory. And he doesn't always take it away. People that say that he does, they're liars. Here the scripture is very clear on that, okay? Here's a godly man seeking the Lord, and I would encourage you to do the same thing. If suffering comes your way, it is definitely right to ask the Lord to take that suffering away. There's no problem with that. But he may not do it. Paul got both blessings and sufferings. Now, let me see if I can word this well for you here this morning. God knows what he is doing when he allows suffering in our lives. Again, go back to the operator there at the Ford plant. Even when we are overwhelmed with grief or suffering, hear me closely, God will make a way of escape that we may be able to stand up under it. Hear this closely. You definitely will have times in your life where you won't be able to bear it. You'll have pain or grief or sorrow that is unbearable. I'm not saying you will never have that. What the scripture is saying that when you come into those places, the Lord will make a way where you can get through that situation without sinning against the Lord. That temptation that is to give up, remember in the book of Job, I have no way to even fathom what he went through, right? Probably the richest man in all of his country. He loses all of his wealth. He loses his children. And his wife says, curse God and die. And Job says, naked I came in the womb and world, and naked I'm going to leave it. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At the end of chapter 1, the word of God says that Job worshipped God after he lost all of that stuff. The Lord gave him a way to get through the situation. Okay? And that's what I'm saying here this morning. That God will be with us even in our suffering, even in our grief. Matthew Henry says it this way, and I hope you'll take it again with as the Lord leads. Sometimes Christ sees that we need sickness for the good of our souls more than healing for the good of our bodies. Have you ever been in a spot like that? Have you ever gained something from suffering? That's what they tell you in the weight room, right? No pain, no gain. Those workout coaches love that philosophy, don't they? They would love this message. Bring on the pain, right? That's the only way you're going to get better. The very clearest example I have in my life was right the weekend that I turned 40, I got really sick, the most intense pain I've ever felt in my entire life. And the Lord shut me down for about 3 days. And so do you know what I did? Was one whole day, I read the entire book of Job. To just, I don't know, the Lord let in that, I don't know why. And then what the Lord ended up having me doing is I had to preach a funeral for a very good friend of mine who died in a car wreck like that next week. And again, this is my friend, not me, so to speak, okay? Probably one of the most powerful things I'd ever been a part of, and it wasn't anything to do with me. But the Lord, he had to humble me and put me down on my couch so I would spend time in his word and with him in prayer and preparing for what he had me to do. Because he knew otherwise, I wouldn't do that. I needed the suffering so that he could be exalted. Are you tracking? All right. Today, I don't know your situation. I don't know what all's going on. What I want you to try to trust the Lord enough that he knows that even though you're going through a really difficult time, that if you will trust him, he can take whatever it is and he can use it for his glory and ultimately for your joy if you trust him. And that's what Paul is leading to here. So we look at the petition. The petition, very simple. Paul says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. And I hope that you don't think of this as being a cop-out. It's just how things work. And your parents are the same way. Sometimes when you ask your parents, do they tell you yes? Casey, do your parents ever tell you yes? She says, maybe once in a while, right? Do your parents ever tell you no? All the time, right? Mm-hmm. And do your parents ever like, well, we'll wait and see, which is really no, right? God is just like that. Sometimes God gives us yes, right? Which is, isn't it so awesome when God gives a yes? It's like one of the most awesome things. Brother Tim here was sharing yesterday about how he prayed for his mom all this time and when she came to Jesus. You talk about a yes. My grandma Penn, when she got saved in her late 70s, and my brother Tyler baptized this 70-year-old woman who was now surrendering her life to Jesus. And we had prayed for 20-some years. I had prayed, almost 30 years I prayed for her salvation. When God says yes, wow, it's awesome, isn't it? But sometimes God says no. What did God say here to Paul? He gets a no, doesn't he? That's hard, isn't it? Can you pray for one another today? Because I hate to tell you this, but I think sometimes there may be in our own lives, God's telling some of us no. We're asking God, take it away, take away the pain, take away the problem, make it easy. And God's saying, no, that's not what I got for you. I've got something better. Oh, I don't know, Lord. I don't think you know what I feel. I don't think you know what I'm going through. Lord says, I got something better. Man, it's hard. It's so hard. This is a great illustration from Deborah Rauer. It's a real quick one. She says, as I pulled my brimming shopping cart to a stop at the checkout counter, a toy truck caught my son's eye. Mommy, mommy, a truck. Can we buy it, please? With his fifth birthday, only 11 days away, we had used our money to purchase his first bicycle, the one item he wanted more than anything else in the world. So I said no to the truck. You never say yes to anything. He muttered dejectedly before retreating into silence. As I reflected on his childish behavior, I cringed. I had acted the same way before God just a few days before. I had prayed for something he chose to withhold. I hadn't stopped to think that his no today might be a prelude to an unimaginable blessing tomorrow. Isn't that a great picture? Right? Lord, why aren't you doing this for me? Why are you making life so tough? I want the truck. I want it now. You just don't know that the bicycle's around the corner. Right? And can I be very honest with you that even if it's not in this life, the Lord has something much greater than a bicycle for those in store who trust him, okay? That's where faith really comes in. So let's look at the solution. And just briefly, even before we get into the solution, I remind you, who else petitioned the Lord about an infirmity? His own son, right? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, Father, let this pass from me. And what does he get? He gets a no. Wow. And the no that he gets allows all of us to be reconciled to God. And did God make a way for Jesus through all that he went through? As horrible as it was, he made a way, didn't he? And he raised him up from the dead. And now he's at a throne that's above all thrones. He's a name above all names. So be reminded again today, please help you and me today to trust the Lord in our infirmity. Verse 9, the solution. Paul says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Here it is today. God's grace is enough. You believe that? It's easier to believe it when everything's going okay, isn't it? It's a lot harder when you're trying to get the doctor's report and you're wondering how it's going to work out. You're trying to figure out about your own kids and relationships that they're making and the choices they're making. When you're not sure if you're going to be able to keep your job. When you're not sure about where the money's going to come from to take care of this or that need. It starts getting pretty hard, doesn't it? My grace is sufficient. That's what the Word of God says today. That's not your preacher talking. That's the Lord. He is enough. Put that in your heart today. Put that deep down in your heart. There may be a lot of the things in this world I don't get enough of, but God never runs out of grace. It is equal to any task he asks of you and any day he blesses you with. And again, I don't want to re-preach Brother Tim's message, but yesterday was so good. Just a reminder that the Lord gives us daily bread. He gives us what we need for today. Anybody else have that problem besides your preacher? Lord, I don't have enough for November. Lord didn't promise November. He promised April 29th. Lord, I don't have enough even for June. I didn't promise you June. I promised enough for Sunday. Today, the Lord has enough for today. God's strength displays itself best in our weaknesses. His strength and our weakness, just an amazing thing how the Lord works it together. So let's look at that. We've seen the solution. Let's look at the resolution. So what does Paul do in his heart? Verse 10, we'll wrap all this up. Paul says, verse 10, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. There's a lot of things I understand in the scripture. This is one of the hardest ones. Did you catch the word that he used? Paul didn't say, well, I think I'm going to make it. I'll just keep working and trying to serve the Lord. I'll just keep going. oh, I hate these sufferings, but I'll just keep doing it. What word did he use in the NIV? It says, I delight. Have you ever heard somebody say, bring it on? I bet Michael's heard that a lot in his occupation, right? When those guys are trying to work out and they're trying to hold up under pressure, give me your best shot, right? Well, Paul says here, he says, bring it on. Bring on the weakness, bring on the insult, bring on the hardship, bring on the persecution, bring on the difficulty. You know why? Because when all these things come upon me, you know what happens? God shows himself to be mighty and holy and faithful and just and loving and benevolent and all-knowing and all-powerful, and he gets the glory, and I am filled with great joy. Bring it on. I delight in it. Whew. Now, when we're in suffering, that's about the farthest thing from our mind, isn't it? That's what I'm trying to tell you today. Your preacher has. That's why this verse is so hard for me. When I'm suffering, delight is the last word I would use. But when we walk with the Lord and we look for, again, like we talked about last week, when I entered the sanctuary of the Lord, then I understood final destiny. I saw the big picture. And the Lord will remind us today that when we are weak, he is strong. Physical affliction doesn't have to be a barrier to effective Christian service. Did you hear that today? Some of the people doing the most work for the kingdom of God today can't even get out of their house. How could I say that? Because some of the greatest work that's being done is done on a spiritual plane, and it's done by prayer warriors in nursing homes and shut-ins and people who have really poor health. But they have a close walk with God, and God hears their cries. Don't doubt the power of God, even in physical affliction. Step out of the boat. Trust the Lord. All right, let me give you a closing illustration. We'll call it a day here. This is from Philip Yancey, from a piece he wrote called Chess Master. Author Philip Yancey writes, in high school, I took pride in my ability to play chess. I joined the chess club, and during lunch hour, I could be found sitting at a table with other nerds poring over books with titles like Classic King Pawn Openings. I studied techniques and won most of my matches and put the game aside for 20 years. Then in Chicago, I met a truly fine chess player who had been perfecting his skills long since high school. When we played a few matches, I learned what it is like to play against a master. Any classic offense I tried, he countered with a classic defense. If I turned to more risky, unorthodox techniques, he incorporated my bold forays into his winning strategies. Although I had complete freedom to make any move I wished, I soon reached the conclusion that none of my strategies mattered very much. His superior skill guaranteed that my purposes inevitably ended up serving his own. Perhaps God engages our universe, his own creation, in much the same way. He grants us freedom to rebel against its original design, but even we do so, we end up ironically serving his eventual goal of restoration. If I accept that blueprint, which is a huge step of faith, I confess, it transforms how I view both good and bad things that happen. Listen to this. Good things, such as health and talent and money, I can present to God as offerings to serve his purposes. And bad things, too, disability and poverty, family dysfunction, and even failures can be redeemed as the very instruments that drive me to God. Isn't that incredible? But he said to me, Paul writes, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. Let's stand this morning. Again today, I will go play a little bit, but I want to encourage you today. If you're able and you would like to, we would love for you to come to the altar today and lay your burden down here and say, Lord, I am suffering, I am hurting, and I need enough. I need your grace. If you need a friend, I'm sure you just look around and grab somebody's hand. They'd be glad to walk down here and just be with you if you want to pray together and take that time. You can do that in your seat as well if that's where you need to be. I'm going to do that. Today, if the Lord is blessing you and things are going pretty good and relatively your life is really not filled with intense suffering, then I want to encourage you to pray for people that you know that are going through difficult times. People are here in our own congregation that are facing some pretty severe things, and then we know of other brothers and sisters all around the world who are hurting. So take this time today to ask God's grace to be shown what it is, to be shown as sufficient, and thus pray, as Paul would pray, that Christ's power would rest on us. All right, let's pray.